eternal God whose brightness surpasses that of our star, the sun, whose goodness and greatness and love has been revealed to us in the face of Jesus Christ. We lift our thoughts and our voices to thee today in prayer and in praise. Confirm within us every noble aspiration and every response to the leading of thy Spirit. Bless our fellowship, especially those who may be experiencing pain, distress, or discouragement or illness today. And give us from thy word, we pray, a fresh word of direction and guidance on our way as we wait before thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We welcome to lead our worship today a neighbor and friend of a seminary who is about as old in our community as I am, so that makes him a rising senior, I would say, in terms of seminary classifications. Our speaker is an ordained minister of the Lutheran Church, taught for a number of years in the Concordia Seminary, Springfield, Illinois, is a certified supervisor of clinical pastoral education, a subcategory of the ministry which is dear to my own heart, has had engagements with various ones of you and various connections, including units of clinical pastoral education and the colloquium in ministry which we operate for our Doctor of Ministries program. He's very conversant with the field of field education, its principles and practices and methodologies. He came to Raleigh as the originator of Triangle Chaplaincy Services under the auspices of the Lutheran Church, and most recently has come to be the director of the Department of Chaplaincy Services of the Wake County Medical Center, our neighboring facility. We're delighted to have the Reverend John Costello to lead our worship today.
Let's pray. Our heavenly and gracious Father, we affirm your presence with us through thy Son, Jesus Christ. We celebrate the fact of our redemption in him, of that opportunity we have to be together, to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And now may the meditation of our heart and the thoughts be with thee, and may we be under thy blessing. For Jesus' sake, amen. In the name of our Savior, dear fellow redeemed in Christ, I must confess I was somewhat confused as to what I might address this morning when I was graciously asked to share this worship hour with you. Being true to my own tradition, in part because of my background and in part because it's the only thing I know to do, I turned to the church lectionary and was reminded that today is the feast of the purification of the Blessed Virgin. And I thought that ought to be something neat at Southern Baptist. That's something neat even for a Lutheran. And I almost dismissed it. But not being schooled in the free worship, I didn't know where else to go, so I decided to struggle with it a bit. It occurred to me that there was a reason when the church in the fourth century set this as a worship emphasis for the lives of its people, and that possibly through the Reformation, with all of its great truths and liberation that we have in our day, by neglecting that history, lost something. And I began to struggle a bit with what it might be. It seemed to me that indeed the life of Mary, the mother of our God, does say something to us, in spite of our initial reactions. I discovered that Mary is mentioned in the Holy Scriptures 4 times in Matthew and twice in Mark, 4 times in Luke, 3 in John, with 1 verse in Acts and Galatians, and Paul mentions her not by name but reference. That's not a whole lot. And yet, in studying these, I discovered that in spite of these meager accounts, a study of Mary can say something to us, and does say something, at least to me, for my spiritual life right now that I'd like to share with you. Coming off of the Christmas and Epiphany season, it is helpful for us, I think, to stop and think back to the Annunciation. The response of Mary to the Annunciation of the Lord was one of mixed emotions, fear, and the response of the angel of God, fear not. Confusion, how can this be? Answered with God's plan. A virgin shall conceive. And all of this validated with the proclamation of the Word of God, with God nothing shall be impossible. Joy. The joy that comes to most women with the knowledge that they shall bear a child. Certainly a special joy and a thrill that must have been Mary's when in that instant she came to realize that she was indeed to be, as God's word says, blessed among women. She was to be the bearer of the Messiah. And then in the midst of this, we find Joseph. His doubts understandable. But Mary, she struggles. But there comes to Joseph and to Mary the assurance, this is of God. And then a trip to Bethlehem. What a time for a trip. To find an inn full and the offer of a stable. And as I thought about these things again, I began to wonder if Mary ever had any second thoughts about what was happening to her. I wonder if the thought ever went through her head, thanks but no thanks. I wonder if she ever thought, why me? The birth, the angel choirs, the shepherds, God's miracle at work. And she was a part of it all. And how at this moment this must have been overshadowed. Obedience, humility, and servanthood are examples that Mary sets before us. And then there comes the return and the days of purification over. Mary and Joseph and the child go to the temple, and Mary hears the adoration of Simon, the Nunc Dimittis. But this is mixed with a very, very cruel and hard word. For even as Mary, holding her child, witnesses the adoration of Simeon, she hears the words, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. And I wonder if there must have been any moments of second thought for her then. Then there comes another trip to Egypt. After that, we read only meager things about her. Her search for her missing son, a boy of about 12, not an uncommon event for all of us who have had sons of 12. Finding him again, and of all places with the teachers in the temple, not a common experience for most of us with children as well. And her response, why hast thou dealt with us this way? I have sought thee sorrowing, she says. And as parents, I'm sure all of us, if we've ever had a lost child, can identify with that. The cry of anguish of a mother who has lost touch with her child, and the pain that any parent can understand. The confusion of the wedding at Cana. Faith that Jesus would handle every situation. And yet, did she really understand the nature and the condition of his ministry? The text would suggest she didn't. In Galilee, she comes to him, and his response to the announcement that his mother is there is, my mother and my brethren are those who hear the word of God and do it. I wonder what she felt at that moment. See, what begins to emerge is that certainly it wasn't all glory being this mother. The mother of this Jesus of Nazareth, her heart certainly must have swelled with joy. But I wonder how she felt when she heard the rumors about him. I wonder how she felt when she heard the feelings of his people, her people, concerning him. And in the cross, what more pain could a mother endure than this? Her Lord, but also her Son. Flesh of her flesh. Her Savior and her child. I can't help but wonder what she must have felt. If she really ever asked the question, why me? Is it possible that she might have wondered, would I have not been better off if it had never happened to me? And my experiences in ministry have taught me that Mary stands as a very real prototype for my life, and I think possibly for yours. And I would suggest she stands as a very special prototype for us in ministry. As pastors, as students, as teachers, and as children of God. I'm sure most of you here this morning know that the same kind of mixed, ambivalent, joyous, and painful experiences are yours and mine by the miracle of our rebirth in Jesus Christ. There are those times in the lives of every Christian when God's revelation and when God's divine purpose for us will overwhelm us. When our souls, as Mary, however, will also shrink and tremble at God's action in our lives, at the magnitude of God's purpose for us in the ministry to which we are called, to be confronted with the reality that God uses ordinary functions of life to bring his message of saving love in and through us is a joyous, but at times for me also a very frightening reality. The joy and the excitement of ministry, the honor, the love, and the status that comes with it. Any of us who have been privileged to pastor know that we are blessed beyond many through that ministry. But there are also those hard days and hard times. There are the sleepless nights when pain and tears come. There are the times when we are misunderstood, when we may be accused, when we will be suspect, we will be spoken of, and we will be defenseless. You will know who you are. You know what you are about. You will know what you believe and where you work and what you live for. But there are going to be times, and if you haven't experienced them, I can promise you there will be times when no amount of work, no amount of talk, not even prayer will take away all the pain or all the hurt. But like Mary, I've experienced, and I can assure you on the basis of the Word of God, you will experience the fact that you will have the strength to bear it. It will not go away, but like Mary, you will be sustained through your faith. There will be times when you will ask, why me? And I'm sure there are many of us here this morning who have already asked, thanks, but no thanks, God. When we might say, is this all there is to it? And there may be times when we may say, might I be better off had I never done ministry? But like Mary, we can grow with these experiences. We can learn from them. And believe it or not, we can even change. The struggle will be endless. But I believe that the simple and profound lesson of the Blessed Mary can speak to us again. Mary, though bewildered by the gift, accepted God's gift of Jesus Christ and in humility confessed the keystone of her life, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Purely and humbly, Mary puts her life into the will of God for her and for all of us. Here, the events of all human experience are validated. God has given us a clear and objective word to which we may go, and there we may find His will and measure it over against our experiences. In that sense, I believe the Blessed Virgin speaks an example to every one of us. There will be confusion, but there will be joy. There will be pain and doubt, but there will be happiness and glory. There will be seeming defeat, but there will also be victory. There will be misunderstanding and rejection, but praise God, there will be reconciliation, forgiveness. For God has entered into our world in His Son, Jesus Christ. Our hope, and dare we never forget the hope of the world, is Jesus Christ. He is the only hope. In that sense, Mary stands as a pointer to Jesus Christ. I believe by knowing her, we can be challenged by a depth and a quality of devotion which can shape our lives. Comforted that like her, we also will be in Jesus Christ, forgiven of our confusion, our hurts, our doubts, and our failures. But above all, her life reminds us of one who, in spite of doubt and in fear and confusion, submitted to the will of God, whose life magnified not self, but magnifies Him. Mary trusted, praised, and served God in the midst of pain and joy, in the glorious light of the angelic choir, and in the despair of Calvary. Her confidence, "Be it unto me according to thy word." May God help us as individuals, as pastors, as students, and as teachers to give to each other and to a dying world our confession. Be it unto us according to thy word. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank Thee for this moment, for Thy Son, Jesus Christ. May Thy Holy Spirit help us to search our hearts, that we may indeed come to You. In Thy Word, learn of You. Place our confidence in Thy Son. And may our lives be a witness to You, that we may strengthen one another in our ministries, draw our strength from Him. For we ask it in Jesus' name.